This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Trump administration has signaled that it will be withdrawing the United States from the historic Paris Agreement signed in December 2015. The modest accord was the closest that most of the world's heads of state came to toward making a collective pledge to limiting greenhouse gas emissions and curbing the worst impacts of an already changing climate. Trump's move to jeopardize the agreement should come as no surprise. For years, he dismissed global warming as a hoax. And with his appointment of ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, his allegiance to fossil fuel-driven profits was sealed. In fact, a new report found that Tillerson was present in the room when ExxonMobil signed a major natural gas deal with Saudi Arabia during Trump's visit to the oil-rich Arab Kingdom last week. My guest is John Cookett. He is a global climate policy director with the Sierra Club. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks for having me.
So as of this recording, while you and I are talking, we haven't had official word yet from the White House about withdrawing from the Paris Accord, but Reuters and other publications have cited inside sources saying that indeed it's going to be withdrawing. What do you know about how much it is set in stone that the U.S. will be withdrawing?
Well, I don't think anything's ever set in stone with this administration until it's done, but everything we're hearing indicates that they're about to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. I was just going to say it's also important to point out that actually leaving the Paris Agreement will be a very slow endeavor. Under the terms of the agreement, you can't leave for 3 years until the agreement has been enforced for 3 years. And then there's a one-year period after the U.S. would submit its intention to withdraw before we actually leave, which puts us right at the 2020 elections.
So that would have been my next question then. How easy is it to withdraw? So with the Obama administration having signed this agreement, it locks the U.S. into this deal for, you're saying, at least 4 years by the time Trump's reelection comes about.
Yeah, that's correct. They're in this for some time and are going to have to figure out how to navigate this situation if they are actually intending to withdraw.
Do you think Trump's views on global warming have evolved? I mean, since, you know, there's a huge difference between campaigning and actually being president. As president, he is forced to listen to advisors who tend to know better. Of course, it depends on what their ideology is. But we haven't heard him calling climate change a hoax since he took office, right?
Yeah, I think some of his talking points may have evolved a little bit. For the most part, the president is taking the most extreme action possible on climate issues. Leaving the Paris Agreement would be by far the most extreme thing he's done so far. But he has told the Environmental Protection Agency to basically roll back all climate-related environmental standards. And that was really the initial step. In some ways, this is the messaging point that covers everything.
So in terms of the what actually can happen over the next 4 years, let's talk about that. When the Paris Accord was signed, and I was in Paris during the COP21 meetings, covering that meeting, and the people on the ground, the climate justice activists, as they call themselves, among them many Sierra Club members, were not happy about the Paris Accord because it simply didn't go far enough. What action does the signing of the Paris Accord lock countries, signatories, into for the next 4 years? So before the U.S. can fully withdraw from the Paris Accord, does our signing of the deal lock the U.S. into taking some action to curb greenhouse gas emissions?
Unfortunately, it really doesn't. What the Paris Accord is a global agreement for all countries to work together on addressing climate change. But it leaves the actual targets and goals of each country up to their own domestic process. What we've seen since the Paris Accord was signed is unprecedented interest in countries around the world in advancing solutions. We see countries like China and the EU strengthening their approaches and their domestic processes, announcing new endeavors. We see India moving very quickly away from coal towards clean energy. But all of those are bottom-up domestic actions. The Paris Agreement is really just a place where countries get together and discuss what they've accomplished, talk about working together, and ultimately pledge the next round of targets. What we're talking about now is the US not being present for that process, or simply standing by the side and saying that we don't have policy or we are not intending to do anything further. So it would put the US in a very difficult position going forward of clearly being outside of the mainstream, and you know, really just cements the president's position as the only climate denying head of state in the world.
Now, one of the main sticking points for years at the UN-sponsored climate talks was how much money rich countries who were responsible for, mostly responsible for creating the climate crisis in the first place, how much money they would pledge to poor countries so that they could adapt their economies. What did the Paris Accord say about that? And could any of that be in jeopardy? The Trump administration and the Republican Party have often turned any sort of foreign aid to other countries into a political football. And so they, you know, taking aim at any sort of aid to poorer countries is often something they enjoy doing.
Yes. A broad swath of what we would maybe call climate assistance is certainly understood to be something that would flow under the Paris Agreement. The main commitments were actually made in Copenhagen. And countries have been living up to those agreements. The Obama administration made several pledges to the Green Climate Fund. But the Trump administration has signaled right from the beginning. In fact, it turned out that when the president talked about canceling the Paris Agreement, what he was really talking about was canceling the small funding that was moving under the Obama administration towards the Green Climate Fund and other multilateral institutions that seek to help countries both mitigate their climate pollution and adapt to the changing climate. This administration is talking about not only getting rid of those modest efforts, but rolling back, broadly rolling back all U.S. aid to foreign countries. It's a, you know, it's, there's been a lot of pushback against that, including at the Defense Department and at the State Department. But the president has signaled very strongly that the U.S. is withdrawing from the global community.
Now, in terms of how this all of this impacts the climate as a whole in practical terms, we know, for example, states like California, the fifth biggest economy in the world, is taking its own actions to curb climate change as best as it can. Still not going, of course, far enough, but going much further than the federal government does. A lot of other states and local communities trying to do the same because there has been such an absence of federal action and even international action. Could any of those efforts compensate for withdrawing from the Paris Accord?
Well, actually, there's a lot that can be done, and progress has been fairly substantial. Through 2015, the U.S. was over 40% towards its target under the Paris Agreement. We believe that the Clean Power Plan goals can and will be met as companies move away from coal towards clean energy. Already, 250 coal plants in the United States are either closed completely or scheduled to be shut down by 2025. And we see an unprecedented switch to clean energy in the United States, with a number of states taking action. Since 2006, there's only one state in the United States that has seen an increase in its electricity from coal. The rest of the country has seen very large shift away from coal towards clean energy. And I think both California and New York and likely other states will step in and fill the leadership void if the United States leaves the Paris Agreement. And it's not just the governments, it's a lot of companies have stepped up and lobbied the administration. And our expectation is that they will continue to take action because it's in their interest to move to clean energy solutions. Right now, wind and solar are helping their bottom line. They understand that. And they've been trying to explain it to this administration, but it appears that it's fallen on deaf ears.
Now, we should also remember that many of these companies, like ExxonMobil, are well aware of the impacts of climate change, understand that it's real, because they've been studying it. Even if Trump himself doesn't, or at some point didn't believe it, or you know, on the surface denies that climate change is a real thing, we know now that ExxonMobil, for example, had scientists studying the phenomenon of global warming decades ago, knew about it, covered it up, and just as these reports are coming out that the U.S. under Trump might withdraw from the Paris Accord, the ExxonMobil annual shareholders meeting has taken place, and we're now hearing that 62% of shareholders are now compelling the management of ExxonMobil to make transparent how climate change could impact the company's bottom line. So even shareholders are worried about what is clearly a dying industry, right? I mean, can you comment on this these moves within Exxon?
Yeah, I think that's a follow-up on the fact that Exxon has had to write down a large number of their reserves, particularly the tar sand reserves, which have are proving to be a terrible investment that were made under, current Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. So I believe that investors are very worried about companies like Exxon not dealing with these problems in a clear and transparent manner. And, when you see very large reserve write-downs like that, it's concerning to them. And I'm sure that you'll see this more broadly across the industry. An industry that is not doing as well as it used to. It's not doing as poorly as the coal industry, where you see massive bankruptcies. But the oil and gas industry is absolutely in trouble, and this is part of the reason.
And of course, many worry that Exxon has taken over the U.S. government through Rex Tillerson. I mean, it's amazing that you have a person who was CEO of the world's largest oil company for 10 years, zero political experience, zero experience holding political office, and suddenly gets plopped into the role of Secretary of State, the most important position after the president on international diplomacy. And we're now finding out that Rex Tillerson he recused himself for 1 year from participating in any decisions involving oil contracts and the U.S. government. But apparently was in the room when his former employer signed a deal with the Saudi government during Donald Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia last weekend. This was reported by DSmog blog. How deeply does ExxonMobil, at least from this on the surface, seem to direct the president's hand when it comes to fossil fuel policy, climate change policy, etc.?
Well, the amazing thing there is that while there are clearly ethical problems with this administration that are wide-ranging, it's also the case that Exxon was one of the strongest voices to stay in the Paris Agreement.
Right.
And Trump appears to have completely ignored the fact that virtually all of the fossil fuel companies that are publicly owned suggested that staying in was the right course of action. I don't understand how this decision is made contrary to the wishes of the State Department. I think that's one of the more fascinating elements here, that the president didn't listen to the people that he's hired to drive our diplomacy, and instead is listening to extreme elements on the fossil fuel side, and interestingly, the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, who's basically made up legal arguments of the consequences that would flow from leaving from staying in the Paris Agreement.
Right. This is Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, we have a lot to learn about how this happened and why they made this decision, if this is actually the decision that they're going to do. But it really does appear like a very small number of people who have very little experience on these issues are driving the narrative in the White House.
Could this simply be political theater? Because, you know, the Republican Party and conservatives have driven this narrative that any agreement, any international agreement on things like climate change hurts the U.S. economy. They've created this false narrative that agreeing to curb greenhouse gas emissions is the reason why there are Americans who are struggling to make ends meet, because somehow it's hampering the growth of the US economy. And so could that be, you know, just kind of making a show of pulling out of this major agreement to throw fodder for his base? Could that possibly be the reason why Trump is doing this?
Well, of course it could. I mean, we all know that Trump's more interested in the media narrative and the showmanship side of the White House than in the governing side and the policy arguments. There's no real good reason for leaving the Paris Agreement on the policy side. It doesn't require the U.S. to do anything domestically. The way this was set up and the reason for a lot of the concerns with the agreement are based in the fact that this is a voluntary bottom-up agreement. And leaving the Paris Agreement isn't going to do anything to help any of the communities that elected Trump. What he should be focusing on there is helping those communities with this transition that is absolutely going to happen no matter what he does, and especially focusing on the communities and the workers. Propping up the coal plants is the most expensive way to deal with this problem, and it's simply not going to work. Needs to focus on the people that are harmed by the transition and ensure that they aren't left behind. But unfortunately, he tends to focus on the showy side of things and the messaging pieces and not actually do the work to address the public policy pieces that need to be addressed.
Now, could one fallout from leaving the Paris Accord be that other countries pull out as well? Because if the U.S. isn't going to come to the table internationally to be accountable to the world for greenhouse gas emissions, countries that are big emitters today, like China and India, or even slightly smaller countries, might turn around and say, well, we don't have to be bound by this agreement as well. Could that actually be the worst result from the U.S. withdrawing from the Paris Accord?
We do not believe that that's going to happen. When the elections happened in the United States in November, there was a meeting going on in Marrakesh. It was the first meeting of the parties of the Paris Agreement. And it was a shock to everyone that Trump was elected. And that was really the first test of this question. And countries stepped up, country after country stepped up and said that they would fill the leadership void if President Trump withdrew the United States from the Paris Agreement. And since that election day, there's been a lot of other discussions along these lines. Most recently at the G7 meeting, where the G6 countries left out the United States and expressed their continued support for the Paris Agreement. We know that China and India are in the process of strengthening their actions domestically. All these countries are doing it because it's in their domestic interest. That will continue no matter what the president does, partly because global warming is already impacting these countries, and partly because they can see that clean energy solutions are working better than coal and fossil fuels. A lot of developing countries have built coal plants only to see the cost of operating them go through the stratosphere, in addition to all the pollution problems. And so there's been an unprecedented shift away from coal towards clean energy. The pipeline for new coal plants has shrunk rapidly globally. Obviously, there are no plants left in the US under development because they're prohibitively expensive. And we're seeing that story played out all over the world.
So, well, that's quite heartening. What are some of the ways in which the Sierra Club is responding to this announced, this expected announcement from the Trump administration? I'm assuming that your organization will continue to do the work that you've been doing, regardless of who is in power.
Yeah, there are a few things that we're doing. There will be rallies, undoubtedly. There's a pretty substantial interest in resisting Trump. That will continue. This will be another impetus to get out in the street and show our opposition. The main things that we continue to do that we've been doing for some time are advancing solutions to coal. The Sierra Club and our allies have been working hard to move the United States away from coal towards clean energy solutions. As I said before, 250 coal plants are already either retired or scheduled for retirement. We believe that that trend will continue. It's continued since the election. And if it continues at the pace that it's been so far, we'll easily surpass the goals of the Clean Power Plan. And we can put the next administration in a good position to meet the Paris Agreement. The other big thing we're doing is working with mayors around the country to get them to support 100% clean energy in their communities. And that interest is growing as well. And we think this announcement will only embolden mayors to show the world that the United States is serious about acting on climate change.
Well, John, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out the website for the Sierra Club.
It's www.sierraclub.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest is John Cookett, Global Climate Policy Director with the Sierra Club. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.